Hi there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now, let's prepare our hearts to hear the Word of God together.
I was born and raised in Coeur d'Alene, lived there for a long time, but I never grew up hunting. My family didn't do that. It's not something, you know, that we did. But then as my kids got older, they wanted to. And so we started to learn. I started, you know, glean from friends who had done it all their lives. And so kind of learned the ropes, and we did a few seasons of deer hunting before the Lord called us to north of Seattle, January of 2020. That's a whole different story. But so I continued to kind of like pursue those endeavors and learn and grow. And what I was really interested in was elk, because it tastes a lot better. But so my first season of elk hunting was 2021. And you have to get far away from people. You have to go far to get far away from people over there. So I'm in the middle of like Mount Rainier to Yakima to Ellensburg. Okay, you with me? Sort of, some? Okay. And so here's a picture of me in the morning. It was beautiful. It was such a just awesome day. It was just like gorgeous, and it's the snow fell just so gently and all that stuff. It was just awesome time with the Lord and all this stuff. Took a nap under a bush, and it was really cool. I didn't see anything all day, but I posted up for the sunset and on a little valley, and then it happened. There's a bull elk, and it was a perfect shot. It was just like, it was dreamy. I was so excited. It was amazing. It was one of the highlights. Here's a picture of him. It was such a elating experience. One of the best. Fast forward 24 hours, I'm having a conversation with a fish and game officer, and they start reading me my Miranda rights. And they said, because you were forthright, we're going to let you keep your truck, your gun, and your license. And you have to give up the bull. Yeah, that's right. I had never experienced such a high and a low within a 24-hour period. It was horrible. It was so extreme, and it was such a weird feeling. It really was. Like, it was like this, and then it was like this. From, you know, proud and awesome and wow to shame and embarrassment and confusion. I learned in the process that I had overlooked a part of that game management unit, that what you could hunt is this. It's like a unicorn. It's called a spike bull. And what I got was this. And you can't do that in Washington. So there you go. If you were here last week, Jim Blazin talked about some highs and lows of Peter's life, and we're kind of continuing with that theme today. So there was a conversation as we continue this series, Rough Cut. We're looking at Peter's refinement process, what God was doing there in that. And he had a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, that's exactly right, right? You didn't come to that conclusion on your own. God himself revealed that to you. There's not a bigger statement you could have made. Fast forward a few minutes, and Jesus says, I'm going to die for the world's sins. Peter takes him aside, says, no way am I going to let that happen. Jesus responds, says, get behind me, Satan. You do not have God's mindset. You have man's. High highs, the highest of all. That was the best thing you could have ever said. And the lowest of lows. We continue with that theme as we look at Peter's life. We're going to look at the story in Mark 6 of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, and there's a storm. Jesus walks on water. It's probably the most familiar story for the world regarding Jesus. Like, if somebody knows something about Jesus, it was like he walked on water. And so Peter did too, and we look at this story today. But we're going to look at it through the lens of a test. We're going to look at it through the lens of a test. There's all sorts of tests in life. Good teachers test. Good leaders test. Tests are a part of how you and I learn and grow. They're really important, actually. A good teacher does not test for the point of failure. That's not the point. The point is actually in how you learn and grow. It's a pivotal part of it because you have to measure the most important things for whatever it is. That's what's on the test. And you want to be able to encourage and point out, yeah, you have good comprehension about this and competency in this area and whatever, but then there's a gap in your learning here. There's something important that you need to know that you don't know yet. As well as those things happen, even failure of tests happen, it produces humility and teachability, which is critical. If you think you know all the right answers, you're not teachable, you'll stop learning. So you have to be able to have capacity of like, I don't know it all yet. I don't know it all yet, and I'm still in the process of continuing to learn and grow. So when you think about like all the tests in life, can you imagine if there weren't tests, like our world didn't function that way, and it's like, oh, you want a driver's license? Here you go, here you go, here you go. There's rules, but we're not going to like teach you them, and we're not going to like test whether you know how to be obedient to that or whatever. Or like a structural engineer. Might be a little important, right? Or a welder, or certification that you know how to run beads the right way, right? Or a brain surgeon. Probably you want to test them along the way, judges, right? To be able to pass the bar exam. Oh, you want to be a judge? No, here you go. Yeah, you can too. You know, everybody's a judge. It's not how life works because you have to measure the most important things. God does that too. God's a good leader. He's the best leader of all leaders. God's a good teacher. He's the best teacher of all teachers. God tests too. He tests you. He tested Peter and the disciples, and we'll look at that. We're going to look at the water test first, okay? Mark 6, we're going to look at that story. And as we go into that story, that's where we'll spend the majority of time. We're going to pivot a little bit to Matthew's rendition of that story. As you have multiple gospels, you have different eyewitness accounts of like, oh, this is what happened, and they said this, and then this, and they did this, and they paint this holistic picture. And so we're going to look at Matthew's conversation about Peter and Jesus in this dialogue. Okay? Everybody with me? All right. Mark 6, verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. We'll come back to that piece. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Pause. Jesus followers, you follow Jesus' example. He lived a life for you to look at and go, that's what it looks like to follow God. He modeled an example for you to follow. If you're a disciple of Jesus, it means you're a follower of Jesus and you do what he did. Some of you, this is the only thing that you needed to take away from today. You need to get away and spend time with God. You need to pull back from all the distractions and busyness. You need to spend time with your Heavenly Father. You need to have a conversation with God. You need to stop all the other stuff, and you need to pray. You need to follow Jesus' example, his model. Let's keep going. Verse 47. And when evening came, the boat was out at sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Pause. Okay, so he said, get into a boat and cross the sea. They did that. What were they doing wrong? What were they doing wrong? Nothing. They were being obedient. They listened to Jesus. Just because the wind is against you and things are harder than they should be or that you want them to be does not mean you're doing anything wrong. Just because the wind is against you does not mean you're screwing it up and you're being disobedient or. It happened to them too. It's going to happen to you too. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. So this was like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It is the middle of the night. He meant to pass by them. That's interesting. We'll go on. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the sea, come on, crazy. Who does that? There's a lot of symbolism to that. That's not this message, message's focus, but the sea is symbolic of chaos biblically, Old Testament wise. So like a Jewish reader would go, this is a big deal. The disciples would go, this is a big deal. Okay? It meant chaos. It meant life that is out of control. And Jesus is above it. He is riding the waves. He is the boss of all bosses. When you think of the chaos in your life, Jesus rides above it. He is bigger than. He is the boss. He is supreme too. Everything is under his feet in subjection to him. And the story unfolds. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for all saw him and were terrified. They were freaked out. It was freaky. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. That's something that God says. That's something that God says. Hey, take heart. It's me. You don't need to be afraid. You got to know God's voice. That's something God says. That's something God does. With authority, he speaks. Hey, it's me. I'm here. Don't be afraid. We're going to jump to Matthew real quick and get that dialogue into this story, okay? Matthew 14, verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, crazy, come on, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Back to Mark 6. We'll finish. Verse 51, 52 there. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. For they were utterly astounded, because they did not understand about the bread, because their hearts were hardened. This is actually, I didn't think of this pun. It's kind of a pun intended, I suppose. This is a breadcrumb trail to the previous lesson, the previous story. It points back. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing in the previous lesson, which we'll talk about. So he gave them another opportunity. There was a gap in their learning, and he gave them another opportunity because they didn't understand what he was doing with the bread, with the loaves. It's this bread trail pointing back to the story that just happened with the crowd. Jesus is teaching. There's 5,000 men. So it's like women and children, 10,000 easy. There's a lot of people. And the disciples say, all right, you know, send them home. They got to eat and they got to take care of themselves. They got to make their way back home. And he says, well, where should we get food? He says to one of his disciples, John 6:6 captures this, right? You got to take these gospel stories, put them together to get the whole picture. And he says, where should we get them food? And one of the disciples says, it'd take a small fortune to feed this many people, to buy bread for this many people. And it says, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, but he was testing them. Okay? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm capable of? In the midst of your scenario and your struggle and what's going on and whatever that situation is, do you know who I am? So it says, back to that verse, Mark 6:52, they were astounded. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing here because their hearts were hardened. In your Jesus following, you learn God wrote a book. There's no other book like it. And it's different. It's not written like every other book. And so there's like tools that you pick up along the way to go, man, how am I supposed to understand that and read that and interpret that? One of the tools that I use is BibleHub.com. It gives you a variety of different Bible translations. And then it also has different commentaries, different good studied people with different thoughts of, you know, oh, this could mean this, and this is connected to this, and it's really helpful. One of the tools on that, BibleHub.com, is the Amplified Bible. If you're not familiar with that, think of like a magnifying glass. Take that, and you're like looking at the passage, and it kind of makes the picture bigger with some different words to help, like, okay, that wasn't clear, but then they kind of round it out, okay? Here's the passage, Mark 6:52 in the Amplified Bible. It says, because they had not understood the miracle of the loaves, how it revealed the power and deity of Jesus, him being God. But in fact, their hearts were hardened, being oblivious and indifferent to his amazing works. It was about feeding the bread, and they missed this lesson. And so he gave them another lesson out on the water. He's teaching them. And their heart, they didn't get it because their hearts were hardened. Now, it wasn't like hateful, angry, spiteful, callous heart, like we'd normally think of a hardened heart. But it was oblivious and indifferent. Like, think about like, they weren't sharp, they were dull. They weren't tuned in. They were out of frequency with what God was doing, with what the Spirit was doing, with what Jesus was doing. They weren't tuned in. They weren't in sync with like, oh, okay, you can feed 10,000 people like that. I shouldn't trip. Like you provide. Like you know how to do miracles. Like I can trust you with circumstances and situations that are beyond my understanding. And so they missed it because their hearts were hardened. They were dull. So he's like, all right, let's circle back on this lesson, okay? Boat, storm situation, I'm walking on water. And then Peter, right, this dialogue. There's the water test, then there's the food test, and then there's God's test. God tests. And he doesn't test to fail. That's not what a good teacher does, and he's the best teacher of all teachers. That's not what a good leader does, and he's the best leader of all leaders. There's things that he's wanting to do in these guys, wanting to do with you, with testing. And we see it throughout the Bible. Sometimes the word is used like it's clear, you know, this is a test. And a lot of times it's not. Sometimes it's used like Proverbs 17:3, the crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and the Lord tests the what? The heart. He cares about your heart. He tests your heart. And just like precious metals, as they're being refined from the raw product into a worthy, pure product, it takes heat. And in that heat, the impurities rise to the surface. And that is just the same way it is for you and for me. When the heat is on, guess what comes out first? Right? It's the impurities. It's the brokenness. It's the gaps in our learning that come out first, where he's like, that's where I'm working. That's where I'm wanting to work, but you have to participate with me in that. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force his work on us. We have to participate with him in the work. He didn't force his way on them with the bread story. No, they were dull. They weren't getting it. They weren't tuned in. So he's like, all right, let's, we could do this again. And he's gracious. Can I get an amen? And he's gracious. Okay, let's circle back on this. I'm going to keep giving you and keep giving you and keep giving you lessons to learn. We're not going to skip this lesson. It's too important. It's too significant. The meaning's too big. I need you to get this about me, about you, about life, about how this works and how it doesn't work. God uses tests. We see it over and over again. Deuteronomy 8:6. This is with Israelite in wandering in the wilderness. God made you, Israel, dependent on him in the wilderness that he might humble you and not grind you into the ground, not bring you to failure for failure's sake, but dependency. That he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. To do you good in the end. Proverbs 27 says, a man is tested by his praise. Who do you give credit to? Who do you point to? God uses tests. Will you listen to him or not? Are you learning what he's trying to teach you or not? Will you grow in the areas he's wanting you to or not? There's all sorts of times in the Bible that it doesn't say the word test. Like, think about it like this, like Adam in the Garden of Eden. You can eat from any of these trees except this one. It's a choice. You can work any of these days, morning till night. Go ahead, knock yourself out, except this one. I'm going to feed you bread from the sky down on the ground every morning. I'm not going to do it this day. Just collect twice as much. There'll be more than enough, but don't hold on to it. I will provide. Over, 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 over it again. And in your life too. And in your life too. Will you trust me? Will you follow me? Will you keep your eyes on me? Remember when like our teachers would be like, all right, class, next Friday, chapter 6, 7, and 8. You should study those because we're going to test you on those things. God doesn't do that. It's like pop quiz all the time. Okay? Now, he's a good teacher. A good teacher does not like, I'm going to test you on all the things that I have not taught you. That's what a bad teacher does. A good teacher tests on, I've taught you these things. I'm going to test you on these things. God does that with you too. I've given you everything you need to know in order to pass this test. Passing does not mean perfection necessarily. Humility and being teachable is an important part of continuing to test and test well and walk before the Lord well. I've given you everything you need to know in order to come to good conclusions. No, it's an open book test. The teacher's in the room. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to look to? Are you listening? Are you letting me work? And then one more variable in this like God testing thing to round out the kind of thought is God will not tempt you to sin. God will not tempt you to be disobedient to him, to be self-destructive. James 1 speaks of this. James 1, verse 12 and 13. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Like, life is a test and full of tests, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God can't be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. That's an important part of discerning, tempting versus testing. Who does what and their motivations? Satan, motivation for destruction. God's motivation, growth, goodness, maturity, Jesus-likeness, closeness with him. Satan's motivation, separation from God, causing death. God's motivation, your life, and the best life. All right, let's get back to this story. The disciples miss it. They don't grasp the lesson. And so Jesus circles back, trying to instill this lesson. I have a clip from The Chosen, and it does a really good job of like putting us in this scene. Okay, it's not the authoritative word of God. They use creative license in that, so hold it loosely. But it captures this scene in a pretty special way. Watch this with me. There's a few things that stand out to me in that. Lessons for us to glean. Lessons that Jesus was doing then and for us still today. Okay, so we see that Peter has major faith. His faith is on display in some radical ways. He's a fisherman. He had spent half of his life in a boat, and he's about to step out of the boat into the sea, a stormy sea. He's leaving comfort. He's leaving known, familiar, safe. He is stepping out of known, familiar, safe, comfortable to be with Jesus, to step towards Jesus, to join Jesus in what he's doing. There is an awesome lesson for us to glean in that. And I'm not even shaming the other guys. Like, some of us are like, yeah, those were the smart guys, you know? But we also see he experienced success in some amazing ways. Like, he experienced the power of God on display in his life in an undeniable way. Who else can say, I walked on water? No one else. He experienced the power of God in his life, on him, in a miraculous way. That's pretty stinking awesome. And then we see him fail. And we see him drown in front of his Lord, before his friends, right? All his peers. We see him take his eyes off Jesus, get distracted, and sink like a rock. 30 years later-ish, Peter said these words regarding testing and trial. He said, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, in this future hope, as you think about beyond this life to the life that's truly life, in this future hope, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, and it is, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it a little different, paraphrase it. As you think, man, there's life that's beyond just this life. This life is not just about this life. And there's testing and trials and pressure and stress and struggle and fire and difficulty and challenges and difficult choices and. It's necessary. It has a necessary part of your life and your growth process and this world, certainly. And God is in that because it produces something in you. It refines like gold in a fire. It refines you and the genuineness of your faith, which is the most important thing to God, just so you know. That you would be purified, that as the heat happens and the impurities rise to the surface and you participate with God in that as he's like, let's take that off and let's remove that. Will you let me? After all of that, when Jesus comes back, you'll be singing his praises. You'll be on point. You'll be on point. God uses tests. He uses tests in your life. He uses pressure and stress and struggle. You are not promised a smooth sailing life. You are not promised a pain-free world. Some of us, and I include myself in that, really need to let that sink in and continue to let that sink in. I was not promised a pain-free life. And God's in that. Will you trust me? Will you follow me? Will you keep your eyes on me? He's so committed to your growth. He's so committed to you learning. That's part of being a disciple. And without that pain and struggle and storms, we wouldn't learn anything. We would not learn. What I want to do here as we finish this message is take a long, slow finish. Okay? This won't be fast, so just hang with me. I'm going to ask you a series of questions and just process them before the Lord. This is just a kind of a time of prayer. Okay? You can keep your eyes open. You can keep them closed. This is just you engaging with the Spirit, processing these lessons from the Lord. What's he saying? What's he saying? Lessons in faith. What's your comfort zone? Known, familiar, safe. Your proverbial boat, in a sense. What's that for you? What are you afraid of right now? What are the wind and the waves that are distracting you from keeping your eyes on Jesus, keeping your faith and trust in him? What's distracting you? Lessons in success. What are you proud of in your life? What are you proud of? Who do you give credit to for that? For those things, those accomplishments, achievements? How much does your success define you and who you are? Lessons in failure. Who or what do you look to when you're drowning? Who do you look to, or what do you look to when you're drowning? What of your past failures are you letting define you in your story? One of the things I love about this story regarding Jesus and Peter is he was a disciple. He was a follower already. And he failed. Just like you and me. And he called out to Jesus. And he was saved. And he was rescued. Just like you and me. Just like anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. That isn't a one-time decision a long time ago. He was already a follower. And he failed, just like you and me. And all who call on the name of the Lord will still be saved. Lord, save me. Lastly, previous lessons. What was the Lord trying to teach you last? How did you end up here again in the same place? How'd that happen? And a good question to hold on to and process with the Lord is, what are you trying to teach me? I'm one of those dull, oblivious, I'm not quite tuned in. God, what are you trying to teach me? If you need prayer, it's part of what we do here. It's part of what we do in the family of God. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. If you need prayer, please come. Take courage. Step out of your comfort zone. Come up for prayer. We'd love to pray with you, for you, over you. If you need to continue to spend time with the Lord, do that. What's the Spirit doing? What's he saying? And right now, would you stand up with me so we can pray? And then we'll continue to praise our King, eyes fixed on him. God, we thank you for the grace and patience that you have with us. And thank you for being a good teacher, that you come back around and come back around. You know what you have to work with. And there's only one that's perfect, and that's you. It's not us, and you know that. You don't expect us to be anything but. But you want us to join you. Continue to work that in us, God, your good work, that we would join you, that we would trust you, that we would keep our eyes on you, that we would follow you, that we would trust you with all the wind, all the waves, all the fear, because it's you. We can trust you. You've proven yourself over and over again, your power, your goodness. You have a plan. You're strong. We can trust you. And all God's people said, amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life Ministries is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more information on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the Real Life app or visit us at reallifeministries.com.